A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on February 8, 1987, entitled, The Cares of Life, The God Who Cares. The scripture readings are Numbers 13, verses 25 through 33, and 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 11. The texts for the sermon are Numbers 13, verse 33, and 1 Peter 5, verses 7 and 10. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
We're going to do that exercise again that Peter did earlier. Will you all get out your Bibles and look in the cover, and the one that has a sermon, would you? There was anxiety the first time, there's panic now. Well, I could have taken off for other parts earlier had I known that little trick. That would have been fine to do. Life is difficult. That's the opening statement of the popular book by Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled. Life is difficult. You don't really have to buy the book in order to know that. But that's a simple statement of the way it is, and we didn't need the psychiatrist to tell us that because we've all experienced it. Life is difficult. Living is really swimming upstream, not just floating downstream. Living has something about it that causes us to realize that we are cutting against the grain. There is a kind of adversity, a kind of resistance in our human experience. Life is difficult. Life is difficult at all of the various points of the passage, the pilgrimage of human experience. We sometimes speak about children and say, aren't they lucky, the carefree years of childhood. But as a matter of fact, children go through great trauma and really great anxiety in order to grow up, trying to determine who they are and their relationship to their parents and then to their peers and to the potty, as a matter of fact. It's not easy to be a child, and we forget that. And of course, adolescence, oh, that's something else. It's the greatest reason that I would always stand against reincarnation. I just could not go through adolescence again. And of course, it's obvious that with the elderly and those closing years of life, there's a great deal of care and anxiety. Will I be able to make it to the end? Will I keep my faculties until my body stops? Will I become a burden to somebody else? Will I get into a situation where I lose all of my dignity and humanity? Very real cares at the end of life. And then, of course, being prejudiced, I suppose, because I'm somewhere in the middle, the people in the middle really get a double whammy, because you can worry about your kids and worry about your parents. You can worry about your children. What was the book that was referred to, and was it last Sunday's press? Hey, Mom, I've got something to tell you. What? Don't tell me. Always the possibility of that revelation that will see life unravel. The care of children. And we never get over being a parent. They don't tell you that when you begin. You think you get these little gifts, you raise them for a while, and you set them free like birds. Not so. They continue to come back to the roost with more little birds. And so, whether we're caring for our children or worrying about our parents, in the middle years of life, there are cares enough to go around. And there are some people that seem to get through unscathed and scot-free, but by the time life is over, most all of us have been brushed at some point with some great burden, some great heartache, some great trauma, some great tragedy. There is enough suffering to go around, and there are not many of us that get through scot-free. And woe to us if we lift ourselves up in the face of the disaster of another, because tomorrow it may be our portion as well. And so life is full of care. There's plenty of care to go around. And I want to say to you this morning that over against the cares of life, there's a God who cares. And in the face of the cares that are part and parcel of being human, there is the sustaining grace of the God of all grace, who invites us to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Beautiful statement by Peter in his first letter. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Wonderful image to fill our minds and fill our hearts. As we negotiate the passages of life and encounter the adversity that is just a given of being human, no one ever said, no one ever promised us a rose garden. And if there are roses indeed, there are thorns as well. And so in the midst of our human passage, we recognize that we are moving upstream. There is a kind of striving, there is a kind of struggle. Life is difficult. And in the midst of that difficulty, in the midst of that struggle, against which none of us are immune, which fall upon us willy-nilly, like the rain and the sunshine on the just and the unjust, so the cares of life are the portion of us all. In the light of that, this wonderful image, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. In the last 4 weeks on Wednesday evenings, some of us have been thinking about the whole subject of health and healing and prayer. And at a time like that, I'm always given articles and books and helpful things that are appropriate to the subject. And I received an article last week from the Medical World News, January 26, 1987. Right, hot off the press. It's an article about the intensity of the research that is currently going on to find the linkage between stress and the immune system and disease. For a long time, it has been observed that there's a linkage between stress and disease, and a linkage between stress and the immune system. But according to this article, the three-way linkage is not yet established scientifically, that is, on an experimental basis, according to the scientific method. But there's a great deal of research going on right now, which is verifying that hunch of the centuries, that the body, the physical body, is the register of the mental, emotional, and spiritual state of the person. And that the state or condition of the mind and the heart is registered in the cells of the tissue of the body. Now, for a long time, we've known this in a sense. All the years I've been back here, I suppose, been talking about psychosomatic illness, the connection of mind and body, psycho and somatic, soma, body. But we are finding now that it is not simply that there is an idea that affects the physical, but that actually there is a physical path that the body is such that it does register indeed the mental and the emotional state of the person. And the research that is currently going on will, I suppose, point out that linkage one of these days. But the interesting thing that was stressed in the article is that the stressors of life do not have it in themselves to create dis-ease in the body. It is not that there is a correlation between the stressors of life or the cares of life and the effect of the body. There is something in between the cares of life and its impact on the body, and that something is our perception of the data. It is the perspective that we bring to life. It is the attitude and the posture of our lives that will determine the extent to which the external circumstances of life will be registered in the internal condition of the body. It is the perception of the circumstances, not the circumstances in themselves. That's why one set of circumstances perceived by one person seem to be shunted off. Same circumstances perceived by another person may be registered in any kind of physical ailment, from heart disease to malignancy to whatever you want to name. What the research is indicating is that stress can impact the immune system, can make the body vulnerable to disease, but stress cannot get to the disease without first being perceived as life-threatening, apart from a foundation of faith, trust, foundation of life. Life is difficult. Darwin saw that in his famous Origin of the Species, in his portrayal of the evolutionary drama. He coined the phrase, the survival of the fittest. And we can understand that in the rough and tumble of life, the survival of the fittest. But while that is certainly true in the plant and animal kingdoms, let me suggest to you that in the human experience, it is not the survival of the fittest, but the survival of the faithful. Those whose lives are grounded in the eternal God, who approach life from an attitude of trust, whose lives are characterized by hope and peace, are those whose systems which affect and enable health are given their full charge and their capacity to make a person healthy, if not wealthy and wise. It is the perception. Therefore, it is not the survival of the fittest, but the survival of the faithful. And we have this familiar little Old Testament narrative which characterizes that point so well. Israel, delivered by God's mighty hand, on the threshold of their inheritance, sending the scouts ahead to find out what they're up against. The report comes back. There's a majority report and there's a minority report. The majority 10 to the minority 2, the two, Joshua and Caleb. The interesting thing about the majority report and the minority report, is that the data, the observation, the conclusions regarding the land, the results of the scouting expedition are all the same. The land is fruitful, wonderful. I remember when I was a kid in Sunday school, we used to get Sunday school papers with pictures on them. I remember the one where these two Hebrews were carrying a pole between them with this great cluster of grapes coming back from the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. No one argued with the point that it was a great land, that it would be full of sustenance for the people, that it was a prize to be possessed. Neither did anyone argue that the cities were fortified, that there were Jebusites and Amalekites and Amorites and Termites in the land. They all agreed. However, when they came to a recommendation, the majority report said, "We'll never be able to do it." And the minority report said, "Let us rise up and occupy the land." Now you see, the interesting thing is that the perception, the possibility, was absolutely in contrast, even though the experience was the same. They both agreed on the data, but it was what to do in light of the data, in which there was a parting of the ways. The one was a fearful response, which was the consequence of weighing their strength against the adversary. The other was a positive call to action, which weighed the adversary over against the power of God. And that's the difference. Life is difficult, full of peril, potential disaster. If I had been 2 seconds earlier this morning on Lakeshore Boulevard, I'd have had a great big huge limb through the roof of my car. Now the 10 majority report spies would have pulled off the road at that point, not gone any further because of the threat of another branch coming down. But Joshua, Caleb, and me, we kept right on going. You can't pull off the road because a branch may hit the car. What if a tree comes down on the car where you pull over? Life is full of peril. There are no guarantees. Life is difficult. Everybody can see that data. Everybody can agree to the ingredients of life that are light and shadow, sorrow and joy, victory and defeat. No one is immune. The only difference is, how do you respond in the light of the data? The 10 said, "We felt like grasshoppers." Grasshopper mentality. Grasshopper mentality. No self-confidence, no self-esteem, no self-image, because no rootage in the good and gracious God. Of course, it's a perilous business to negotiate the passages of life on one's own steam. Of course, it's a depressing business to weigh one's resources and capacity over against the possibility of disaster. But it's quite a different picture and quite a different possibility if the perils of life are observed under the image of the eternal God, who is our refuge, whose everlasting arms are under us, and who overshadows us with his wings. Faithful living does not take away life's peril. It only changes the perception of the stressor and robs it of its power to rob us of our health and our well-being. Peter said, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. That's an understanding of the whole of reality. That is a conviction that the whole structure of reality, the world and all that's in it, and all God's people are upheld with his mighty hand, that he spoke and began it all, that in the fullness of time he shined the light of the glory of his revelation in the face of Jesus, and that in the end time he'll call time and bring all things to the fruition of his promise. The same data will cause one to flounder and another to flourish, the difference being not in the person, but in the God in whom the person's life is rooted. I am convinced that there is all the resource we need to live and die happily if we can say with the catechism, my comfort, the strength with which I live, is this, that I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And as that statement goes on in beautiful way to point to his reconciling grace and his overarching providence, and the confidence that he will finally bring us home. The psalmist said, he will perfect that which concerneth you. To perfect is to bring to completion, to realize the purpose. He will realize his purpose with you, concerning all of that that concerns you. So Peter says, and he writes his letter to those who are in various trials and afflictions and going through the fire of refinement. He says to them, humble yourselves beneath the mighty hand of God, and recognizing the adversity of life personalized in the adversary, he says, the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Life is difficult. There is very real opposition. There is an adversary. But Peter says, resist, strong in faith. And then he goes on to promise this marvelous promise. Listen to it. And the God of all grace, don't you love it? The God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal kingdom in Christ, after you have suffered a while, will restore, establish, and strengthen you. To him be dominion, now and forever. Life is difficult, and those difficulties can get to you. Focus on them. Become fascinated with them. Be obsessed with them. And before long, that fascination with the difficulties of life will affect your immune system, which will lead eventually to dis-ease, or face the difficulties, acknowledge the cares, bundle them up, dump them in the lap of the good and gracious God, and get on with your life, knowing a peace that blows your mind. That's the translation. That's the contemporary translation of a peace that passes understanding. We can live with an irrational peace given the peril of the situation because of the God who says, cast your cares on me. I care for you. Now, what greater promise? What more life-enhancing invitation can I give you than to take that which is boring its burning way into your soul and consciously give it over to the good and gracious God who cares? The cares of life may be given to the God who cares. Blessed be His holy name.